message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We want to welcome you to another time of Bible study together. We're certainly glad you've joined us today. And I trust that our time together will be a rich blessing and help to you as we look again at some of the dueling doctrines among Christians. We've been looking for some time now at some of these various issues that fill the heads of Christians with that mush between your ears, fill up Christians' heads with different ideas where they begin to duel back and forth. In fact, we even thought about using that famous song, The Dueling Banjos, for a theme song for a program like this, because we've been looking at, we looked at baptism, we looked at the Sabbath, we looked at tongue talking, we looked at healing. We've looked at various different things that Christians argue about and duel about. And you'll find great camps on either side of these things. And the question is, how do you decide which one is right? Especially since in these areas that we've been talking about, the reason there's a duel, the reason there's a contention and a controversy, is that both sides have verses in the Bible that teach what they're saying. That's the shocking thing, is that both sides actually have scripture that promote their cause, that teach their doctrine, that honestly, in their context, with just the natural meaning of words, teach the various things that are being taught. Well, how in the world then does some simple person like me or perhaps like you come to an understanding of how to decide which one you follow, which one is right? Usually, the answer to that question is based on who you think somebody is that's given the answer. It's who you think a person is that usually causes you to decide what you're going to believe, rather than God's Word. Now, our final authority should be the Word of God. And yet everybody will say that. Well, we all want to go by the Bible. I mean, it's been a while, frankly, since I heard a Christian say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't think we need to go by the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. We understand that and we want to go by it. It is our final authority, by the way. Psalm 138, God says that I've exalted my word above my name. You see, in God's mind, he puts his word above everything. Jesus said, when he prayed in John 17, in the Lord's Prayer, he said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, if Jesus Christ thought the word of God was truth, I figure Jesus Christ knows what he's talking about. He'd be right. That's why when Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, we have to take him seriously. If you're going to take the word of God and let it be the word of truth that Jesus Christ said it was designed to be, and that it is, then you're going to have to rightly divide the word of truth. You're going to have to make the distinctions in God's word that God has made. When you do that, these dueling verses begin to quit dueling. They don't begin to agree and say the same thing. Rather, you begin to see that they're not fighting each other. They're simply two different programs in the purpose of God. Galatians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul, very clear in Galatians chapter 2, when he talks about the meeting that he had with the Jerusalem apostles, he says in Galatians 2 verse 7, contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. You see, there's two different gospels, one given to Paul, one given to Peter. Two different apostleship, one given to Paul, one given to Peter. Two different programs, two different messages, two different agencies, two different purposes and programs in the plan and ultimate purpose of God to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in the heaven and in the earth and have all things put under him. Rightly dividing the word of truth has to do with recognizing the differences in those programs. I want you to notice with me Matthew chapter number 10. Because one of the great illustrations of the confusion that people have about what God wants us to do today is just understanding what our marching orders really are. It's a fascinating thing that even at this late date in church history, you find people dueling about the commission that the church, the body of Christ, should be following. Matthew chapter 10 is the first record of what sometimes is called the Great Commission. Our Lord gave a commission to the 12 apostles when he ordained them. And this commission in Matthew chapter 10 begins with the beginning of their ministry, verse 1. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these. He's ordained them. He's given them authority. And he begins with it with their ministry. That ministry goes all the way out to the second coming of Christ. It doesn't go just through the earthly ministry of Christ. It goes all the way through Pentecost. There it is in verse 20. It is not yet you to speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The Holy Spirit doesn't come until Pentecost. Then verse 23, he says, you will not be gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. This commission envisions the ministry of the apostles from their ordination in Matthew 10 all the way through to the second coming of Christ. That's why it's such an interesting thing the way it begins. Matthew 10 verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, that's a very clear statement about what their purpose was. They were not to go to the Gentiles. They were not to go to the Samaritans. God was dealing with people in time past back here in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was dealing with people back there on the basis of a difference between the nation Israel and the Gentiles. And he tells the 12 back here, when they're ordained back here, he tells them, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Just minister up here. I'm just dealing with these people up here, not these people down here. Matthew 15, 24, he says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's why he wasn't going to deal with the Gentile woman that was seeking his attention there. Now that's quite different when you come over here to the ministry of the Apostle Paul, where through the fall of Israel, salvation has gone to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy in the dispensation of grace where the body of Christ is being formed, where we are today. Paul says that God's purpose today is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Today the issue is an every man ministry to an all man thing. Paul says that Christ, he dies at the end of each of these books in here. He dies. He's resurrected, ascends into heaven, sends the Holy Spirit back on the day of Pentecost, the fall of Israel takes place, but Christ up here saves Saul, and Paul says that by the risen Lord, we have received grace and apostleship for every man and all nations. You don't get all men without distinction and exception until you come out here. Peter, and the gospel that Peter is preaching over here, and the message committed to Paul, Galatians chapter 2, they're different. Prophecy, mystery. Now, the commissions that Christ gives back here are different than the commission that he gives in here. And the reason that it's foolish to go back here and try to be arguing about which one of these things you're going to follow is because they aren't what God's doing today. This is what God's doing today. Now, I want you to notice the issue. Come with me to Matthew 28. Years ago, out on the east coast of the United States, there were two great fundamental evangelical churches, two great fundamental evangelical leaders in the work of the Lord. Tremendous men of God through the ages, and very influential. One of them used Luke 24 as his commission. One of them used Matthew 28. These two men, both in the same denomination, really. But because one of them used Luke 24 and one used Matthew 28, they would not receive members from one church to the saved people, fundamental Bible-believing people. But because they used different commissions, they wouldn't accept one another's membership back and forth between the churches. If you went from one church to the other, they required you to go through the whole reprocess of joining their assembly. Why? Well, they had dueling commissions. Now, they're not the only people that do that. I want you to see where the commissions that Christ gave the apostles in here, where they fit, and why it is that it's foolish to try to pick and choose between these. Matthew 28, Jesus came, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now notice the problem if you try to obey that passage in here. I know people quote that verse, go ye therefore and teach all nations, like that's what you're supposed to be doing. But notice what it says. When you go, what are you going to teach them? All things, to observe all things that I've commanded you. What did Christ command them to observe? Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, Matthew 23, verse 2, and on and on and on. He commanded them to keep the law. He said, whosoever breaketh teaches men to keep the law is going to be great in the kingdom. When Christ comes out over here and sets up his kingdom, the tribulation period is in here. Christ comes back, sets up his kingdom. He says, you'll be great in the kingdom if you teach people to keep the law. Paul said, you're not under the law. You can't follow Matthew 28, verse 19, in the dispensation of grace if you follow what it says. Now, you can make up stuff, but the legalism of the passage won't allow you to live in the dispensation of grace unless you change what it says. And only a crook could do that. Well, then where does it fit? Well, look at what he says. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, because I'm the rightful king of the universe, and teach all nations. Hold your hand there and come with me to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. This commission is for some people to go out and teach all nations. Numbers chapter 23, verse number 9. The Bible says, from the top of the rocks I see him, talking about Israel. From the hills I behold him. Lo, the people, that is the nation Israel, shall dwell alone. The nation Israel shall not be reckoned among the nations. When you talk about the nations in the Bible, you're talking about the Gentiles. The nation Israel is set apart from the nations, and according to the Word of God, not to be reckoned among the nations. Then in Matthew, when he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, who are they to go teach? They're to go teach the Gentiles. Matthew 28, you follow Matthew 28, you can't have a Jewish evangelism program. You just go teach the nations. Because the nation Israel is not to be reckoned among the nations. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 2 and see why that's going to be. Hebrews chapter 2, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8, quoting the new covenant that God makes with the nation Israel. Hebrews 8, verse 11, Israel shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. When's that going to take place? That takes place in the kingdom when Christ comes back out here. Matthew 28 is the kingdom commission for the nation Israel that they'll fulfill in the kingdom when they take the good news that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords and all power in heaven and earth is given to him, when they take that message out and convert the nations of the earth in the kingdom for it. And you can't fulfill Matthew 28 until that point unless you change the text in Matthew 28, and only a crook could do that. Mark 16. Not only is Matthew 28 a problem, when you read the text, Mark 16's one. But these verses, when you leave them where they fit, they're wonderful. Matthew's the gospel of the kingdom. There's the commission for the kingdom. Mark 16, verse 15. He said unto them, that's be his apostles, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, boy, there's a kicker. If you try to make the gospel in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, the gospel of the grace of God rather than the gospel of the kingdom, which John the Baptist preached and which Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, what do you do with verse 16? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now that's real clear. That's baptismal salvation if you ever read it in a textbook anywhere. And that's in the Lord's commission to the apostles in the so-called Great Commission, post-resurrection. You say, well, he didn't really mean that. Well, if he didn't, why did Peter interpret it that way in Acts 2, filled with the Holy Spirit? He says to Israel, they say, what should we do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Same thing John the Baptist preached, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And that isn't all. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I've said many times, you want to profess to keep that passage? My phone number is on this program. You'll see it. Call me. I got a little bottle of Drano. I'd like to see you drink it. I don't think you can do it. I think you're a phony if you claim to follow that passage. And I'm saying it clear right here where you can't miss it with my phone number available for you to call me and check it out. You say, well, you're just tempting God. No, I'm not tempting anybody. I'm saying I don't believe you when you say you follow that passage, because that passage isn't in operation today. That's a kingdom passage, belongs to the nation of Israel, doesn't have anything to do with us today, and it won't work, and you know it won't work, and the way I know you know it won't work is you won't drink the Drano. Revelation chapter 8, tribulation period. Revelation chapter number 8, tribulation period. They're going to drink some stuff called wormwood, and it won't hurt them. They're going to need these signs and wonders to get them through that tribulation period right there. And they got a commission to do it. They got signs and wonders following that are going to get them through. Doctrinally, it's going through right there. Mark, just like Matthew presents Jesus Christ as the king, Mark presents him as the servant. And did you ever read over there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, who the book of the Revelation was written to? It was written to the servants of God. Oh, you didn't miss that, did you? Are you sure you didn't? Yeah. Okay. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. By the way, in Matthew, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." He's with them. In Mark, he ascends away and he isn't with them. And the Lord's working with them with signs following. That's where it fits. Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1. Now, the book of Luke and the book of Acts are written by the same guy, Dr. Luke. And the book of Luke and the book of Acts, Acts 24 and Luke chapter 1, mesh together so that the book of Acts is volume 2 of what volume Luke is volume 1 of. So you find the commissions will kind of fit together. Luke chapter 24, verse number 45, verse 44, Luke 24, 44. Jesus is talking to his apostles, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise the third day from the dead, rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." That takes us to Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, verse number 7. Jesus said unto them, You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon me, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." So that'll start in Jerusalem, that'll go to Judea, then that'll go to Samaria, and then that'll go to the uttermost parts of the world. Hold your hand there. Let's go back to that commission in Matthew chapter 10, that we looked at a minute ago. Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse number 23. Matthew chapter 10, begin at verse 22. "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when you're persecuted, when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, now listen carefully, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Well, there are the cities of Israel right there. He said, you won't have been gone over the cities of Israel, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. That's the landmass of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jerusalem is the city of the great king, Matthew 5:35. Judah is the southern kingdom. Samaria is the territory in the northern kingdom. And he said, you won't have been gone over all that till the Son of Man be come, right here. And when Jesus Christ comes, hold on to Acts 1 and look at Psalm chapter number 2. Acts 1 and Psalm chapter number 2. When Jesus Christ comes as King of Kings and sits on the throne in Jerusalem, God the Father says to the Son, Psalm chapter 2, verse number 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Did you know that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he said you go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, that he was quoting Psalm chapter 2, verse 8? You did know that. You did check that, didn't you? Are you sure you did? Are you really positive that you did? Well, certainly your preacher did. You want to bet? I'm not going to be nasty to you, unkind or sarcastic or rude. I might be being all that. I don't mean to be. I'm just trying to drive a point home to you. There's something going on here in the Bible, folks, that you can study the Bible and see if you look at it. Jerusalem. And by the way, I know what Jerry says, you know. I know he says Jerusalem is your hometown. Listen. If you go to this stuff and you take in Luke 24 and Acts 1 and say Jerusalem is your hometown, Judea is the county around it, Samaria is the country, you know what you are? You are a practicing modernist. There's not one map that's ever been found in any Bible atlas that ever existed that put Jerusalem in your state. You know what Jerusalem is? It's in the Middle East. It's in Israel. It's in the land of Palestine. That's where it is. On every map in every Bible that ever lived. Your hometown, my toenail. You know where it's at. Look on the map. See, you just become a modernist by reading the verse and say, well, it can't mean that. It must mean something else. And you change it and spiritualize it and tell spiritual lies because you don't have spiritual eyes to see spiritual truth. You know how I know it wasn't the hometown? He's talking to 11 men there. One of his apostles is dead, Judas. The 11 men he's talking to were all... None of them. Jerusalem wasn't the hometown of one of those guys. I mean, you do remember where he called them from, don't you? You do remember that, don't you? You did check that, didn't you? Surely your preacher did before he said such a stupid thing. Somebody check it. Somebody check somewhere. Jerusalem wasn't their hometown. It's the city of the great king. Oh, yeah. Don't be a modernist. Don't be a practicing modernist while you profess to be a fundy. A lot of folks say, I'm a Bible-believing fundamental Christian. And they think Jerusalem's their hometown in that passage. You know what you are? Yeah, you know what you are. Luke fits right there. Book of Acts fits right there. Pretty as you please. And if God hadn't interrupted that program would have gone on right over in here, and the power that God gave them would have been working in those signs and miracles in here and would have carried right on into the kingdom. Now, there's one commission that we hadn't talked about, and that's in the book of John, John chapter 4. Protestants don't like this one because this is the proof text that the Roman Catholics love. John 4, verse 21, Jesus says unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. He said, as the Father hath given me a kingdom, I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Receive the Holy Spirit, they do. And when you do, whoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. I'm going to give you a power and authority to act in my absence. Who can forgive sins but God only? But these people have the ability to act in the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving them not just a commission, but he's giving them authority, apostolic authority to act in his absence. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You say, why would he give that to failing men? Oh, they weren't failing men. They were men filled with the Holy Spirit. They were to speak as the Spirit gave him utterance. Oh, that's it. Did you ever notice what they did with that authority? You go to Acts 15 and Galatians chapter number 2, and you know what these apostles do? They see the further revelation given by the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. And in Galatians chapter 2, it says they perceive the difference between the gospel of the circumcision given to Peter and the gospel of the uncircumcision given to Paul. And when they perceive the grace of God given to Paul, they said, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen and they to the circumcision. Well, they'd been clearly sent to the heathen out here, to the nations. But the great commission of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts went out of commission when on the authority of that commission, the 12 apostles turned you and me today over to the ministry of the Apostle Paul in recognition of the change in the program that God himself had made and introduced to the ministry of Paul. You want to know what our commission today is? You go to Paul's epistles and find yourself to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, sent out with a message of reconciliation for all men everywhere without any distinction based on the finished work of the cross and sent to make all men see what's the fellowship of the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's our ministry today. And our doctrine is found right there in Paul's epistles. That's why that's what we study, emphasize, and encourage you in week after week right here. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape you'd like you to have to go along with today's study. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. If you prefer, you may also call us during regular business hours at area code 810-778-5032. To get the correct tape, just let us know the date you saw the program. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rather divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.